The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Starting today, Texas students are grabbing their number two pencils and filling in the bubbles for high stakes. It's STAR Week, the State of Texas Assessment of Academic Readiness. This is happening while there is renewed criticism about the STAR, and now there's concern that the test is flawed in its capacity to accurately and fairly measure academic performance. One critical voice of the STAR is from Jeff Wheatcraft. He is the 2019 Texas Teacher of the Year, selected by the Texas Association of School Administrators. Wheatcraft is a middle school science teacher in Alamo Heights ISD. He recently wrote an op-ed about his personal experience with the STAR test as both an educator and as a parent.
So when we talk about ourselves as teachers and also as a concerned parent, we want to prepare our students for the future. Like, that's when you talk to teachers, the main reason they're in the classroom is to prepare students for the future. And while we work really hard to prepare them at math and science and being able to read, there's critical areas that we want them to be successful at. So 21st century skills, like being able to collaborate and communicate, being able to think critically. These are things that are not tested on that. On any kind of standardized test, especially one like STAR. So we want to make sure that they have those skills, because those are the skills that are really going to make them successful once they leave K through 12 education.
What's it like for these kids to take the STAR test?
You know, it varies from kid to kid. Like where I teach, we don't put a lot of pressure on it. So the kids just come in and they take it as they would take any other assessment. So that's kind of where we come from on it. I know colleagues that have it where kids are, you know, there's more pressure for them to put that on, for their kids to do well at the test or to be successful at it. So when we pivot back to what we're looking at, we want to let teachers know, hey, there's a lot of great things that go on in the classroom, and it's those great things that are going to make students successful in the future.
Hear stories about some kids really having anxiety about taking these tests. I guess at Alamo Heights, you don't see that, but maybe at other schools, you've heard of that, or maybe in other experiences you've had.
I mean, I have kids that get anxious about test taking. I get anxious about test taking. I'm an anxious test taker. My wife and I are two different people. She's really great at taking tests, and when I get in front of a test, I kind of, you know, get clammy. I overthink questions sometimes. So, again, when we look at the test, it's okay to have assessments. There's nothing wrong with assessing kids. Like, I think we assess kids at Alamo Heights. We assess kids to find out if they're at the right reading level and all that. But to put so much high stakes on one test, that is kind of where I feel we have a problem in that. Putting all of that on one time for one kid, saying, well, if you don't pass this or you don't do well at this, this could end up you not passing on to another grade level. Or saying if a school doesn't do well at that, they could come in and get a lower school rating.
Right. So it's not necessarily the kids that are being assessed, but the teachers and the schools and the school districts.
Yeah.
They are the ones that may be feeling the most accountability, because if they have failing classrooms for a number of years, they could see all sorts of consequences under state law.
Yes, exactly. And so part of that is, you know, if we're really shooting for making successful students, if we really want kids to be successful when they graduate, and everybody does. I don't think I've met anybody in education or even our state legislators that don't want our kids to be successful. Everybody wants them to be successful. It's how do you measure that success? And again, just doing it one time and having it be high stakes just doesn't seem like an adequate way of doing that.
But now there is some added concern about the STAR test that it may not be at grade level, mm-hmm. that particularly the reading part of it may be two or three grades higher at what they may call a frustration point for a child's reading ability. And some saying that's not fair.
Yeah.
What's your take?
I agree. I mean, I have a kid who's in second grade, and he's going to be taking a STAR test next year to assess him on reading. And we know he has issues with reading because of his dyslexia. So, again, when we look at what we're trying to do for the best interests of students, we really need to look at is that in the best interest of students, having a one-time high-stakes test as, hey, this is the benchmark for you being successful, which is where we're at currently with STAR.
But if they fail the STAR, they can take it again, right?
It depends on what grade level they're in and how high stakes the test is. So for him in third grade, I'm not 100% sure on that. But I know for like with other grade levels, especially like leaving fifth grade into sixth and eighth grade into high school, there can be some measures where students are either held back or they have to take summer school or stuff like that.
But the second grade test is simply to assess their ability to take the assessment test.
Yeah. So from what we learned from his school, and again, this is just him, my wife and I talking to his teacher, was that yeah, it's just they wanted to see where he's at. So where is he at to be set up to be successful on the STAR test for next year?
But here you are. You're the teacher of the year.
Yes.
And you teach, and even now you have some questions about how this whole thing works and what the consequences are. Do we need more transparency on what's going on with these tests?
You know, I don't know if I can speak to that because I'm only in the classroom. What I can tell
but as a parent?
As a parent, yeah. I mean, as a parent, I feel for my kids. I feel for a lot of kids. I want my son to feel like he is enjoying school and that he's successful. In whatever that is, I mean, compared to other kids with reading, he may not look as successful, but he has a disability. So I don't want him to feel like that disability is going to undermine him for the rest of his life.
And so he has a dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And so which can be very challenging for reading. How does that work with the test?
So with the test, he's allowed to have it. He's allowed to have portions of it read to him, the questions and the answers. But any kind of reading, like passages, he's not allowed to have read to him.
And that doesn't seem like if you have dyslexia, if you have to read the passages, how does, you know, you're basically being told to play a game that you can't really play, right?
It seems like it's difficult. And it puts them in a position of how do you make sure that you're actually getting results that you want to get based on the level of the student, the ability of that student.
And so in your op-ed, you're calling for teachers mobilizing against the STAR test. Like, how would you do that?
So like I said at the end of the article, it's really about just talking to our state legislators, just letting them know what you do in class, letting them know your experiences, inviting them in to see. I'd love for any legislators to come by and see what we do at the junior school. The way we have it set up, I think, is a very successful program. Kids are able to do amazing things when you let them, without hampering them with having to feel like they have to fit into a very specific stereotype mold of a single high-stakes test. So teachers have a very powerful voice. And a lot of times we feel like if we say something, we're out of place. And in no way am I saying to be disrespectful or to call anybody out, but just to let people know, hey, look at the great things that we can do when we're not just focused on a single test.
But you're also saying there could be issues with the state's A through F rating of schools.
And that's all based on accountability, too. So, the accountability measures that they give to a school, that A through F rating, is based solely on the state standardized tests. So you may have a school that's doing exceptional things in their art programs, in their science programs, in all various kinds of programs, looking at how do we make students successful for the 21st century. But then when you go and just look at one test, I mean, for a whole year's work, they're going to base it on one test. What if your kids are not feeling well that day? What if, you know, there's a myriad of things that could happen that could affect those one-time results.
Can you imagine your classroom without STAR test? What would that look like?
Right now, I mean, my classroom kind of looks at it already. We don't focus on the STAR test at Alamo Heights. So my kids come in and they really learn about you know, how to collaborate with each other, how to communicate with other students, other people outside of the school, how to problem solve. In the STEM program I run, we give them real world problems that they have to solve, and then they actually fabricate their solutions and then test them to see if they work. So we're already there, and I think it's valuable for people to come in and see what we do and to see what kids can do, again, when you let them, when you're not just saying, hey, just do this one thing for the whole year to focus on one high-stakes test. How about we look at what are all the things that students can do when you open them up to explore the possibilities?
So are you just advocating for all classrooms when you say there's an issue with STAR testing? Because it sounds like to me like it's not an issue for your classroom.
I'm advocating for all teachers out there. That's part of my job as the Texas Teacher of the Year, is to speak on behalf of all the teachers. And, you know, I can't speak for any one individual teacher or one district, because I only teach at mine. But when I go out and I say I'm standing up for this, or I'm saying I'm promoting this, or this is part of my platform, I'm looking at how can we work together, how can we come together as a group of concerned people, because that's what it really is. It's really just teachers really want the best for their students, and we want to make sure that they're successful when they leave school.
So do you think the STAR test is fundamentally broken? Do you think it can be fixed, or do we need to just do away with the bubble filling in accountability testing?
I think we need to limit and reduce and maybe even get rid of high stakes accountability. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with accountability. Like, people will say, well, don't you believe in keeping teachers and schools accountable? Of course. It's just when you only do it for a one-time single thing. I mean, I give tests still, because I want to see what my students know. But those tests are not I don't give them a grade for the entire year on that one test. I mean, how many people would just find that ridiculous to give them, oh, well, you didn't pass this one test, and so I'm going to fail you for the whole year. You know, students grow, they learn as they go throughout the year. So to have it just be a high stakes where it's like you're one and done, I mean, I don't think that most people would agree with that kind of system in any other industry.
And backing off that and not having the high stakes, not closing schools down. Some schools in San Antonio have been closed down because of issues with the accountability and this testing. Then those schools never would have been had. They never would have had to, you know, shut down or transfer over to these charter partnership programs. Did all that happen needlessly?
You know, it's. I don't know if I can say whether it's needlessly or not. Those programs are there and they happened, and I think what we're starting to learn is we're starting to learn that it's just not an effective system right now of having a high stakes test. It's just not effective. If what we truly want, if as concerned citizens of the state of Texas, if what we're really wanting is for our students, our kids, our youth to be successful, and we have lots of businesses and stuff around the state that say, bring us really great graduates, give us people that can do great work. If that's what we're really focusing on, it's hard right now for me, for most other teachers, and for a lot of parents to look and say, high-stakes standardized tests is the way to go. That's going to help us out. That's going to A-OK us and make everything great with public education, because we've been doing it for a while now, and we just haven't seen those results that apparently we thought we would.
Jeff Wheatcraft is the 2019 Texas Teacher of the Year. He recently wrote an op-ed about his personal experience with the STAR test, both as an educator and as a parent. It's titled, Texas Teachers, We Must Mobilize Against STAR Testing. We are taking a break, and when we come back, we get the latest on how the STAR test could be reformed or modified, and what state lawmakers are saying about the test today. If you have a question or comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about that STAR test. We're joined by Texas Public Radio education reporter Camille Phillips. She's been covering concerns about the state-mandated high-stakes test. And so, Camille, welcome to The Source.
Thanks, Dave.
So, and our phone number is 210-614-8980. If you want to join the conversation, you've got a question or a comment about the STAR test, about how this test is put together, and how much weight is given to the test and the outcome, how it's impacting our students and our schools. So right now, they're having a hearing in Austin, the lawmakers and state representatives. What's happening, Camille?
Well, today specifically, there is the House Public Education Committee, and they are meeting and hearing a number of bills, including one from San Antonio Representative Diego Bernal, that would address some of the new concerns about STAR, specifically the concerns that they are 1 to 3 grade levels above reading level, the reading STARs are. His bill would put a hold on some of those high-stakes consequences that you talked about with Jeff Wheatcraft just a moment ago, the consequences of having graduation requirements, school closures, that kind of thing, until an outside investigator has found that those tests are on grade level. That's what his bill would do. There are other bills floating around in the legislature that would go further or not as far. But this one kind of is the middle ground because under federal requirements, there has to be some sort of standardized test for some grades. So there's not, for instance, there's some bills that would have just gotten rid of STAR entirely, and you can't really do that without losing federal money.
So have we gotten a reasonable explanation as to why the reading part of the STAR test is at 2 to 3 grades higher than the targeted class?
Well, I can tell you that the Texas Education Agency disputes that the conclusion that they're not on grade level. The research that says that they're above grade level is based on something called readability formulas. So it's some computer algorithms that look at sentence structure and vocabulary. And based on those formulas, several researchers on several different years have found that they're 1 to 3 grade levels above reading level, above grade level. But Mike Morath, the education commissioner, has told the House that he doesn't think that's a good measure of grade level because it's only one measurement of reading. There's also content, like what subject you're reading and how complicated that is, whether or not your life experience is prepared for that. And he also says that he relies more on teachers' judgment as opposed to a computer algorithm. There are teachers who approve the passages before they go on STAR, but teachers who testified earlier this year on this subject said that they assume that the TEA has already looked at the reading level before they place the passages in front of them to be approved.
Let's go to a voicemail that we got earlier about this topic.
Hi, my name is Tassie, and I'm a public school teacher in San Antonio. When I heard that you guys were talking about the STAR test, I knew that I had to contribute. Just as both a parent and an educator, I have a lot of feelings about it. Primarily, I think it's important to note for the general public that when the Texas legislature initially began to mandate that we administer the STAR test, we were given certain rollout periods. So, for example, the first stage of administering the STAR test mandated that we have something like a 54% passing rate, and then after 2 years, we were supposed to be able to increase our passing rate to 65, and et cetera, et cetera. And since the STAR test, none of those goals have been met, not for lack of effort on the part of teachers, but because of several things, primarily that the STAR test is really developmentally inappropriate for almost every grade level it's administered in. We're talking test-taking strategies that most adults would struggle with. Additionally, it is administered to a bunch of niche groups that are being weighed against impossible standards. So, for example, in my elementary school, we have a large refugee population. These students are there for 2, maybe 3 years before they're asked to complete a test that native English speakers would struggle with.
So that is a teacher, Cassie, and she says that she's concerned about the fact that the grade level is higher, and she seemed pretty confident in laying that out there. And she wants to know what can be done about this situation. That it sounds like she's saying that there are students in their classrooms that are being set up to fail with the STAR test.
And yeah, and that's a lot of what parents and educators are angry about. They feel like they are being told one thing, and then all of a sudden the reality is something else entirely. And that's something that communication issues and transparency issues, I think, is something that there's pretty widespread agreement on, even from the Education Commissioner Mike Morath, that they want to make sure that there is trust in the test. So some sort of outside investigation, be it the state auditor or something, that would verify that you can rely on this test. But that's, you're right, parents especially are angry. I talked to a mom who was, had her son fail the STAR multiple times, who was just really upset when she heard about this.
Because there are parents, they have a kid who's doing pretty well in school, mm-hmm. not flunking out mm-hmm. of school, enjoys school, mm-hmm. seems like a, you know, like a pretty sharp cookie. He takes the STAR test and things don't work out so well. And people are saying there is something wrong here.
Yeah, that's the disconnect. There's educators who say that they have students who are on grade level, you know, and then they don't pass the STAR test.
And so people are saying maybe the test is not at grade level. And then I've heard one defense say of this problem with the higher grade level test is that you want to put students reading at a frustration point to see, you know, where they, how they perform under those conditions. I would think that giving these kids a 5-hour test to do is enough frustration.
Yeah, that's the other question is, are you measuring where students are expected to be, or are you challenging them to try and measure above grade
their endurance level? Your test and I've heard that they prepare these kids to do test taking endurance. They want to build up that endurance, and that just puts, makes class time all the less enjoyable.
Yeah.
So one criticism, we heard this from our teacher of the year, Wheatcraft, that classrooms are teaching to the test, not his, because he's able to, you know, work around that, but teaching to the test, does that happen?
I mean, that is a widespread criticism, and that's actually a separate concern than whether or not these tests are reliable, whether or not STAR is on grade level. There's a whole philosophy that's saying, you know, high stakes consequences breeds teaching to the test, and that's not a way to learn. So whether or not the tests are on grade level, there is still a group of thought that you shouldn't place high stakes on the test.
So San Antonio State Representative Jose Menendez has filed a bill as well, trying to figure out what's happening with the STAR test. And he says maybe we should hit pause on this until we know exactly what's going on. What's happening with that bill?
And it hasn't been heard in committee yet. He filed two bills, one that's a little more hardline, a moratorium of sorts on STAR. In order to get that passed, he would have to get some sort of waiver from the federal government in order not to take a state's test. So that would be a little harder to get across the finish line.
So in the meantime, particularly you'll hear about SAISD and their schools that have not done well on the STAR test, and they're having to make tough decisions with partnerships with charter schools, outfits, in order to keep these classrooms running, or So real life consequences are happening because of these STAR tests that we now are learning could be flawed.
Yeah, yeah. Rodriguez Elementary is closing at the end of the year because of the state consequences that are in place under law. I do want to clarify that the 18 schools that are put under contract this year were not facing state consequences. It's a different kind of partnership.
Okay, I'm going to get this caller quickly on the air because we're running out of time. Hey, Mark, we're short on time, but I wanted to get you on, so go ahead.
All right, it's a quick devil's advocate in support of the, I guess, tougher test. If the kids are doing the bare minimum in class, you know, they're barely at the class, they're doing what they need to be doing to be passing the class, then it will reflect on the test scores. If the kids are excelling in the classroom, that means they're doing better, they're above grade level in the classroom, it will be reflected in the test. The test is just showing where the kids are. There's nothing wrong with, you know, they're passing, but they're not all getting A's and all getting hundreds, but they are passing. It shows that they are right there at where they need to be with the grade.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for calling in. I'm glad we're able to get you in at the last. So we're going to wrap up our conversation talking about the STAR test when we come back from this break. We're switching gears. We're going to be talking about the San Antonio city budget. Where do you want the city to be spending your dollars for local public services, infrastructure development, streets and sidewalks, bike lanes, libraries? What do you want to see happening with your dollars? 210-614-8980 is the number to call. The source continues right after this.